Hello and welcome to our program. We're in Nehemiah chapter 13, a final chapter in this story concerning the revival of Nehemiah. Stay tuned. Nehemiah left and went back to Persia after 12 years as being governor in Jerusalem. But during his absence, spiritual decay began to set in, and the reforms that followed the revival were short-lived. Now, we need to understand that reforms should follow a revival, not the other way around. However, when Nehemiah returned, he found some major changes at Jerusalem. In chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, we read, "On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude." Now this is what happened at the time of the revival. Well, the devil is an angel of light, and he was already working back there. And we read in verse number 4, "And before this, Eliashib, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah." Now, Tobiah was a hypocrite whose name means Jehovah is good, but you remember from our study that he was the leader in giving Nehemiah all the hard time that Nehemiah was receiving. Tobiah was in charge of that. Eliashib, if you read back here in the beginning of all of this, was the high priest. What was he doing being allied with Tobiah? Well, we see wrong relationships, what it leads to in Nehemiah 13 and 5. "And he," that is Eliashib, the priest, "had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priests." Well, they weren't doing things the way they were supposed to do, and the chamber where all that stuff was supposed to be. Eliashib cleaned it all out and made a chamber there for Tobiah to live in. And so we read in verse 6 that Nehemiah said, "But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem?" And he said that he obtained permission from the king to come back from Babylon to go back to Jerusalem. Well, he comes back and he says, "I came to Jerusalem," verse 7. And several things happened here. Number one, he said he understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. Number 2, verse 8, Nehemiah said, "It grieved me sore. Therefore," number 3, "I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber." Verse 9, the next thing he did was he said, "I commanded, and they cleansed the chamber, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense." And verse 10 says that "I perceived that the portion of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his own field." So they weren't being paid and they had to go to work. Well, verse 11 says, Nehemiah says, "Then I contended I with the rulers and said, Why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Boy, we need some more of that today. We need some people like Nehemiah around. Verse 12 says, Then brought all Judah the tithes of corn and the new wine and the oil into the treasury. And I made treasurers over the treasury. And he put in men here that he said in verse 13 were counted faithful to do what they needed to do. Then he prays here in verse 14, says, Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of God, house of my God, and for the offices thereof. In verse 15, he says, In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and laden asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Verse 17, Nehemiah says, Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, and said unto them, What evil thing is this that ye do, and profane the Sabbath? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath? And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and the sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Well, how did Nehemiah handle that? Verse 21, he said, Then I testified against them and said unto them, Why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do it again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. Verse 22 says, And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath. Then Nehemiah prays another little prayer. He says, Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. Verse 23, he continues, In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. How did he handle that? Verse 25, I contended with them, cursed them. That doesn't mean he swore. It means he put an oath out against them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, Ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take the daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet, and he ended up by saying, How dieth the wise man as the fool? Well, he goes on to say, Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Verse 27, Nehemiah asked the question, Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? Verse 28, And one of the sons of Jediah, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat, the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me. Now he prays another prayer in verse 29. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priests and of the Levites. Verse 30, Nehemiah said, Thus cleansed I them from all strangers and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, every one in his business, and for good and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. And then another little prayer as he ends this book, "Remember me, O my God, for good." Well, as we sum up this series, I'd like to mention just a few comments concerning the man, Nehemiah. Number one, he faced the facts that others would not deal with. He had discernment that others did not have. He recognized the evil of the high priest. He was displeased about it, and he took action. Before we criticize Nehemiah for the action that he took, we need to remember that at the beginning of Christ's ministry and at the end of his ministry, he took a whip into the temple and cleansed it. To be complacent in the face of evil is not to be Christ-like. Nehemiah was not concerned about his reputation. He dealt with them directly about their lack of giving. He dealt with those who were hanging around outside the gates. He contended with those who had intermarried. We see the grandson of the high priest had married Sanballat's daughter, and that meant that he would succeed his grandfather in the office. And so we read in verse number 28 that Nehemiah chased him out of town. To chase is to run after someone. Jesus also chased them out of the temple, you remember. We have seen all through the study of Nehemiah that he was a man of prayer, and we see through this particular chapter that quite often he just stopped and prayed, including in the last verse of the chapter. He was probably facing a lot of opposition. He was getting almost everybody upset with him, and when that's happening, that's a good time to focus on praying to the Lord. While Ezra was busy building the temple in the book of Ezra, and Nehemiah we see rebuilding the walls of the city, and of course for the last half of the book rebuilding the people, we see also that in that timeline the prophets who were there were Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. We're going to look at those in our next study. Be sure and be with us.